In here somewhere, you started playing a blue violin. How did that come about?
Yeah. Well, that was Hee-Haw. That happened very soon after Buck hired me. He went to Hee-Haw. He said, I want you to play this blue electric Barkus Berry fiddle. And I was horrified. I was horrified because I was a purist, you know. And that was my good Italian violin that I love, made in 1750 in Milan, Italy, real close to the Strads, you know. That's where the Strads were made, in Cremona, which is about 20 miles from Milan.
When
same
you say
forest.
Strads, you mean Stradivarius.
Yeah.
And the Strads were made there.
So
right?
That's my Strad, you know. My
right.
I envision it made out of the same trees, the same time, the same varnish. As close as I'll ever get to a Strad, probably.
So then this blue violin.
Oh, my gosh, I was horrified. I thought, a blue violin. At that time, there were no blue violins on stage. It was a departure, and Buck always was a step ahead. That's why he was so successful. You know, he had drums and all early on. So I did play the blue violin, and by gosh, Hee-Haw was quite an experience because people started to recognize me in airports and every place. Because Hee-Haw was something everybody watched. You didn't have 100 channels like we do now.
No,
it
no.
was just every Saturday night, everybody would watch Hee-Haw.
Yeah.
So it was a big, big deal. And they didn't use my name on Hee-Haw, but they'd write to the girl with the blue violin. The girl with the blue fiddle. The girl with the blue violin. Are you the one with that blue violin?
Yeah.
So it became sort of a trademark and still is.
Was that a Strad, the blue violin?
No. That was a Barkus Berry electric violin, but it was a good violin. I'm still playing it.
You know, when we intertwine the two names, fiddle and violin, explain that. You're talking about a violin, but the fiddle or fiddling around is your style of play. Is that true?
You got it. What's the difference between the violin and the fiddle? I get that more than any
and
question.
And so I'll let you explain it. I tried to, but you...
Well, you did explain it. That was very good. People go through all this. It's the strings. It's the way the bridge is shaped. It's the bow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not any of those. It's just the style. But I would never play my blue electric violin in chamber music, you know, or in an orchestra. I would solo with an orchestra with it.
You mentioned Lawrence Welk. Did you ever meet him or be around him at all?
No, I just met Jack Immel. And I can't remember how Jack Immel was my contact, but he was the one who wanted me to come audition, it up for me to audition.
And he was Lawrence Welk's manager, was he?
No, he played. What did Jack play on the show? You know, I can't even remember.
I forgot, too, because I watched Lawrence Welk and I watched Hee-Haw.
Yeah.
Anyway, that put an end to Lawrence Welk because of Hee-Haw.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a good thing. It could have gone either way.
It could have gone either way, and I probably would have been happy either way.
Right.
But for me, Buck's deal was very natural. You know, I had been Ann Jones and her Western Sweethearts. Yeah. I loved the music. I loved his showmanship. He got audiences in the palm of his hand. He got me standing ovations at least two every show because he'd look at me, you know, on stage, look at the audience and look at me like a girl is doing this. And he knew how to work the audience and how to get them on my side. It was just like magic. We had a real chemistry on stage. We were good. Yeah, I was good for his show and I was learning how to be a performer, stage performer.
You had chemistry on stage.
Yes, we
did. Then that turned into chemistry off stage.
I knew you'd bring that up eventually.
Right.
Well, he was a single man. It was about a year in. Yeah, we had a blast, and he was so much fun. And yes, it did turn into a romantic relationship. We really did fall in love.
And you were married.
We did get married, yes.
How long were you married?
Well, longer than they said in the tabloids. But we were actually married a little over a year and something or other. But it was kind of a firestorm from the beginning because his sister thought I was going to take over. I mean, we had this wonderful thing going musically and on stage. Dorothy was in charge of the whole, you know, kept Buck sort of from spending too much. She was the one who kept things going business-wise. So she thought it was going to be disaster. No prenup. And, you know, that wasn't important to me. That really was not important to me, but nobody knows your heart. So she probably thought of me as something different than I was.
Trying to move in and control things.
Yes.
Right.
And I wasn't that at all.
Right. Then you were divorced. Did you get remarried and divorced again? Did it go back and forth?
We did go back and forth. We didn't actually do the legal marriage thing, but it did go back and forth for a while. It was pretty wild there for a while. It was a wild ride. Billboards saying, Janet J. Owens, I love you. Billboards all over California, all over L.A. I love you, Matt and Katie. Please come home. So I did go back and move into the ranch. It went back and forth. It was a yo-yo. It was a seesaw time for a while.
So you had this little firestorm off stage, but then you get back on stage and play?
Well, after we got married, yeah, we did some shows, but there was such a lot going on in the personal department, I don't even remember how we worked that out. We did shows. I loved Buck, and I know Buck loved me. I mean, that was how it was. And we were just so good together. You know, right. It was a really, really good relationship. So like any other relationship that's kind of pulling apart for whatever reason, you have times that it works and you think, we're going to work this out, and then, oh, well, it's just not working. And if somebody didn't want me to be around, I didn't want to be around.
Right.
So if there was tension there in the family or whatever with Dorothy or whatever the problems were, I just was ready to leave because I didn't want to push it. I didn't want to force it. I didn't want to go through a lot of agony, and I didn't want to fight people. I've been probably too nice. I could have probably fought a little bit and hung on and been there still, but I don't think that was right for me.
Yeah.
I think right for me was going on and just living my life.
So this tension when you were on Hee Haw, and of course Buck Owens was Mr. Personality along with Roy Clark.
Well, I guess we did the Hee Haw taping. I don't remember any tension on Hee Haw at all.
Were you married?
Yeah, for some of it. And then I still did Hee Haw.
After him?
Yeah, a little bit.
He stayed with Hee Haw, didn't he?
Well, that was kind of when he had asked for another contract, a lot more money and so forth. I think there was still some taping. But this was kind of the very end. They did the Hee Haw Honeys after that, and they started to restructure. But it was kind of toward the end of Hee Haw.
You had big names, Chet Atkins.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chet, I did a lot of shows with Chet. That was really after I left Buck. Because I was exploring Nashville and meeting people and so forth. No, when I was with Buck, it was just Buck. I remember going out to listen to some music in Bakersfield early on. Took my fiddle and sat in with the band or something. That was a no-no, I found out. If you're a Buckaroo, you don't do that. You know, it's very, very closed. That's why, for me, I love being around people and enjoying all sorts of different styles of music and that sort of thing. It might have been restrictive in years, many, many, many years to come, or a different type of lifestyle, which would have been fine. I could have done that and enjoyed the music business with Buck. I'm sure I would have. But when I talked to Sam Lovello about it, and I said, I don't know exactly what to do here. And he said, well, you need to call Jim Halsey.